You know, sometimes God gives me a sermon and I don't quite understand why he's exactly wanting me to preach that particular sermon exactly when he wants me to preach it. But today, I know why he's wanting me to preach it, because now this is very personal, and it's something that we all need to know. This past week, I had to go get some biopsies done on my back. Lisa finished up her chemo treatment. Bob went to be with the Lord. Cancer is a nasty thing. It will devastate a body. Both my parents have had to have kidney removed, tumors removed. We have people sitting in this room right now. Some have been healed by going to be with their saviors. Others have been healed and gone through chemo treatments and have been labeled as survivors. They have defeated the disease of cancer. Diseases here on earth, they are not respecters of persons. It does not matter who you are. They pick and choose who they want to. But there is one thing that each and every one of us have to deal with and have been impacted by in our lives every day. And that is sin. No one can escape it. Not one of us can defeat it, and none of us will survive it. And that's why the title of the sermon today is The Deadly Disease. So if you had turned to Romans chapter 6, I'm going to read one verse. So if you had turned there and stand as I read the Word of God. And this verse is simple. It's a two-part verse. The first part says, "For the wages of sin is death." That's what we get from sin, death. But aren't you glad the verse doesn't stop there? Paul continues to write and he says, "But." And that is probably one of the most important buts in the Bible. "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come once again before you, thanking you for what Paul writes here in Romans. Dear Lord, we are affected by the deadly disease of sin. There is no cure for it here on earth. But dear Lord, we know that you are the answer to that problem. You are the one that can cure us of sin and its results in our lives. Dear Lord, bless the reading of your word. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I want us to look at something. I want us to look at the effects that sin have on our lives. And there's a few of them that I want to pinpoint. There's many, so I don't have time to discuss all of them. But I want us to look at a few. The first effect that the deadly disease has in our life is sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59:2 says this, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Guys, do you realize that sin The word in the Bible for sin, the Greek word, it actually means missing the mark. That's what it means. What mark are we missing when we sin? We are missing the mark of God's standards. Basically, what we are saying is that we don't want to do it God's way. We want to do it our way. And here is my question for you. How is your way working out for you? The simplest thing that we can say sin is where we say, I. What's the first, the letter in the middle of that? Right in the middle. It's I. Sin is when we say, I know better than God. I want to do this. This is what I am going to do. And we have no regard for God's standard and what God says we should do. We just finished up the book of Exodus on Wednesday nights. And one thing that was stressed in that, as God was laying out how he wanted the tabernacle to be built, and I've said this many times, but he was very clear. He said, do it just like I told you to do it. And he kept reminding them, remember, do it this way. Anything short of doing it God's way is wrong. Regardless of how much of it, you could have done it 99% the way God said to do it, and that 1% would make the whole thing wrong. It separates us from God. We're created to have a relationship with him and to worship him, but because of sin, that drove a separation and put a gap between us, and that sin just keeps us apart from him. It separates us, and that's the first effect. But I want to show you how a holy God deals with sin and what that separation actually means to us. Every sin is an offense to God, and God cannot be in the presence of sin. Mark 15, verses 33 through 34, talks about the crucifixion and what happened at the crucifixion as God, as Jesus laid there nailed to that cross, and what happened. And it says, when the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Many people will say, well, that was an eclipse of the sun. No, that was not eclipse of the sun. This has been recorded in history. It was a supernatural disappearing. The light went away from the sun. The moon was not over it. The clouds were not over it. It went pitch black at noon and stayed that way for 3 hours. Why? Because the Bible says that Christ took our sin upon him. He became our scapegoat. It was a practice back in the Jewish practice that as they were going through the wilderness, that once a year they would bring a goat in, and the chief priest would sacrifice an animal to God, asking for the forgiveness of sins, and then he would go lay hands on that goat, and he would pray, and that goat would be led out into the desert, away from camp, signifying that the sins of the people were placed upon that goat, and he became our scapegoat. Jesus Christ did the same thing when he died on the cross. He took our sins upon us. The Bible says he became sin for us. And when he was laying there on the cross, and he took our sins upon himself, his Father, God, turned his back on the only begotten Son. The second person of the Trinity, God made man. He turned his back upon him, and the sky went dark because God could not even look upon his Son because he had become sin for us. And if God could not even look upon his Son and he turned his back on his very Son because of sin, why do we expect him to do anything less to us because of our sin? Sin separates us from God. And then the second thing is sin is harmful to us. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all have sinned. Because of the choice that Adam made there in the garden, and he chose to disobey God, sin came into the world, and by sin coming into the world, death always also came into the world. It was because of sin that sickness, disease, death entered the world. A lot of times we think that we have things happen to us because we have sin in our lives. Well, I hate to break it to you. Yes, we have sin in our lives. And sometimes what happens to us is a result of things that we have done. Teenage pregnancy. I hate to tell you, teenage pregnancy is not a punishment from God. It is a direct result of choices that teenagers make. Accidents caused by drunk drivers are not a punishment from God. They are a direct result of our choices that we make. You say, well, Artie, how can you say that? God does punish. Yes, God does punish us sometimes. The Bible says, who he loves, he also chastens. What does that mean? That means he takes us to the woodshed when we need it. And I can't understand, I can't even begin to understand or even explain how God does that. But I know that there are times that I am punished, and God punishes me because of my choices. But I also know that God loves me. And I claim the promise that he gave Jeremiah. It says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you. That's the plans that God has for me. Does that mean I'm going to get rich? No. That means God's going to take care of me. And as long as I'm following what he tells me to do, then he'll take care of it. But I want you to look at this. Even though disease came into the world and death came into the world by sin, not everyone that has a physical issue or a mental issue is a direct result of sin in their life. Well, how do I know that? Because God, Jesus says that. John chapter 9, verse 3. Jesus was healing a blind man, or a blind man came, and the disciples said, who sinned, this man or his parents? Why is he being punished? So how does Jesus answer them? He says this. Jesus answered, it was neither the man that sinned nor his parents, but it was that so that the works of God might be displayed in him. What does that mean? This beautiful young lady right here, Tara, my dear friend, has an incredible testimony. She was born deaf. But she is here every time the doors are open. She loves Jesus. It wasn't a result of anything that her mother or father did. It was not a result of anything that Tara did that she was born deaf. But it was so that God could be glorified in your life. And you know what her testimony is? She has never heard a sound. The first thing she's going to hear is the voice of Jesus. That is a testimony. But sin is also harmful to others. Galatians 5:9 says this. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. In this particular verse, it's talking about false teachings and how they spread. But false teachings is a sin. Leading people astray is a sin. So what does that mean? It means this, is that that example is when you put some leaven in the lump of dough, that leaven just does not stay in one spot. It doesn't just stay right there where you put it. It spreads throughout the whole thing, and it causes an effect on that whole lump of dough, and it causes it all to rise because it gets in there and it does what it does. Sin is the same way. It affects everyone around us. It just doesn't affect us. There are some very evident things we can look at. The act of adultery. The sin of adultery. It just doesn't affect the two people involved. And in many cases, it affects an entire family. Right? Alcoholism doesn't just affect the person that's drinking, but it affects everybody around. It could affect the person driving on the road next to them. It could affect the family. There have been families torn apart because of alcoholism. My family has been torn apart because of alcoholism. I have family members that have been killed because of alcoholism. But church, there are some things that are subtle that we really don't think about. The sin of anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. That spreads like wildfire in a church, doesn't it? When somebody is bitter, yes, that bitterness and that attitude of bitterness affects not just them, and it makes them an ill-tempered person and somebody that, but people get to the point where they don't want to be around them, that they avoid them. And they also start becoming bitter and unforgiving. It affects more than just us. Our sin affects other people. And then sin produces more sin. Jeremiah 9:3. They bend their tongue like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Satan knows the bait that allows him to hook and reel everybody in. He knows your soft spots. He knows what temptation will get you to take that hook. He is a master at doing this. The Bible says that Satan is like a prowling lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is there waiting patiently. I was watching a video the other day. I love nature stuff, and I was watching this video of these snakes. And there is this one snake out in Africa that it's a type of a viper. And it is not a very big snake. It's a smaller snake. And it climbed up on this twig-looking tree. I mean, it wasn't very big. And he sat there, laid flat against that tree, and just sat there. And he looked literally like part of the tree. Well, these little birds came, a flock of little birds came, and they flapping around, and they're landing on all these different branches. And you know what? It wasn't long before one of these birds tried to land on him. And you know what happened? Snap! He clamped those jaws and shot that thing full of poison. He had his lunch. Satan knows what it's going to take. And once Satan gets his foot in the door, things just grow. Well, what's going to hurt me going out to have dinner with this person from work? Nothing's going to happen. It's all in innocence. Oh, what's it going to hurt to talk to them about my marital problems at home when I'm mad at my wife or my husband? What's it going to take? Or what harm is it for me to go over to their house? What harm's in it if I just go to the movies with them? The next thing you know, you've destroyed your family, you've destroyed their family, and it all started back with one little thought. I told you that I had biopsies done on my back or a couple of different spots. Just like cancer. If you don't get it out, it affects all the area around it. Bruce, when he went in and found out that he had cancer, they thought they would be able to go in and just take out the tumor that was on his leg. But then they found that it had encircled his bone and it was affecting the entire region. So the doctor made a decision and talked to Jackie and Bruce about what it was, that the only thing they could do to keep that cancer from spreading was to take his leg from below the knee. If the doctor had not have done that and just taken out that tumor, he would not have been able to get everything out, and it would have spread. Sin is the same way. It spreads, it reproduces, it grows. And Satan knows that, so all he has to do is get a little bit in there, just a little piece. And if we leave it there, it grows. And then the last thing is sin is the death penalty for unbelievers. James 1, 14 and 15 says this, "But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust." That is not lust in talking about sexual lust. This is lust as in seeing what we want. It's what we want. Then when lust has conceived, it brings birth to, or gives birth to death. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Or when lust is conceived, it brings birth to sin. And when sin is conceived or accomplished, it brings forth death. This is not talking just about physical death. We are talking about spiritual death. And this result of sin affects each and every one of us. Every one of us face not just physical death, but spiritual death. But we have the cure for the deadly disease of sin. And that cure is Jesus. He is the only one that walked this earth, that faced the temptations that we face, that was tempted just like we are tempted. He is the only one that was able to live a sinless life. Go back and look at Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Then Isaiah 53:5, "But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed." I like the way the King James says it. "By his stripes, we are healed." And then 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." Sin is destructive. If you leave it alone, it'll keep growing. It'll keep just festering in you. And it doesn't matter how small you think it is. It is just like a cancer. But forgiveness is always constructive. All we have to do is go to the cross and ask Jesus to forgive us. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean in simple terms? That Jesus will forgive us and He will clean us. All we have to do is ask Him. I'm living proof of what Jesus Christ can do. I thought I could fill everything with what I did. I tried to distract myself from how I was feeling. I tried to take care of things myself, and I made a worse failure out of myself than I could have. I couldn't have done a better job of it. But I got to a point where I couldn't take it anymore. And I laid it at the feet of Jesus, and I said, Jesus, I can't do this anymore. Please take this. Forgive me. Does that mean that I now get everything right? No. Paul says it this way, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I should. And if Paul says that, the man that wrote most of the New Testament, that gave his life for following Christ and spreading the gospel, what more could we expect? We're going to mess up. But you know, that's the great thing about Jesus, is that He's always there. He's always going to be there to forgive us. Does that mean that we can go out and just do what we want to and then go back and ask forgiveness and be okay and then go do it out more? No. That's not what we're talking about. Repentance means that you turn away from it and you walk away from it. Does that mean that you don't stumble and fall? No, we're going to stumble and fall. But we should strive to do better each time. What is it that the thing is, what's the definition of foolishness? Is doing the same thing and expecting a different result? Isn't that what they say? And that's what that type of lifestyle is, where we keep repeating the same thing over and over again just to ask forgiveness and just go back and do it again. That's foolishness. Church, Jesus loves you. He loves you a way that nobody else can. He knows you. He knows the you that you hide from everybody else. And He still loves you. He wants you to be with Him. Don't reject that. If I could do it for you, I would, but I can't. Just ask His forgiveness. Ask Him to take control of your life. Walk through your life with Him. There are going to be storms that you come to, but you know what? He's going to be there, right there with you through it all. There are going to be times that it is so hard. But going through those times makes you appreciate those mountaintops so much more. And you know what? My last conversation with Bob, all he said was, all I want to do now is tell people about Jesus. And he says, I'm stuck out here in these woods and I'm about to go start talking to the trees. And I said, Bob, go do it. Bible says we are to proclaim his name and he'll take care of everything else. Don't let the deadly disease of sin beat you when you've got the cure so easily available for you. This is your chance to take care of that right now. Our altars are open. If you want to talk to somebody about receiving Christ as your Savior, come. There's a lot of people that would be willing to talk to you. Just come up here. If you want to come join the church and become a member of this fellowship, this is your chance. Just come talk to me. If there's somebody else that you need to go talk to and ask for forgiveness or give forgiveness, this is your chance to take care of that right now. Don't wait.
Stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 330, Amazing Grace, 330.